please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7. The world's best radio station.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, James T. Deshaies of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, it's always a great time when we can get together and learn and talk about the things that are going on in our society, and today is no different. I want to talk to you about some of the things that I have on my mind. You know, sometimes when you listen to the news, you pick up on secondary thoughts, and you want to come and discuss them with like-minded people. So today I want to talk to you about some secondary things that have gone on as a result of the debate, as a result of some of the things that have come out about Donald Trump and some of the things he said. And this is a secondary subject about what's going on in our society and how should we be reacting to what is being said. What I'm talking about today is newscasters who suggest that the downfall of Donald Trump happened as a result of him talking about a female, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed female, and once he made this derogatory statement about this individual who is at the pinnacle of the food chain, let's say, that is when he talks with America. He doesn't align with America when he talks about Hispanics being rapists, being criminals who are living off of America. He didn't cross the line then. He didn't cross the line when he spoke about veterans, about certain veterans not being heroes. When he talked about Muslims who gave their lives, he didn't cross the line. But only when he crossed the line as a result of talking to this blonde, blue-eyed female who's at the top of the totem pole, then he started some ill effects of his conversation. When he spoke, he said that black people were living in poverty, blacks were going to, their schools were not, and they were living in poverty, and they were murdered in the streets. He was not held. So now I'm asking you, what does that say about all those different groups? What does that say about all groups if we're not able to speak up a door that when people step out of line, that they are not handled appropriately? We have to have a mechanism that allows us to speak up and make sure that people are held accountable when they're saying inappropriate things. And it looks like until white America was offended, then it became an issue. So we have to make sure that this isn't the case. We can't allow people to trample over us and not be held accountable for what it is that they're doing. We have to make sure that when people step out of line, that they have to pay a price for what it is that is happening. And it looks like this was not the case. And certainly, let's take a short break and I will be right back. There seems to be a few technical difficulties. The host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, there's so much going on, and we just want to talk about some of the things that are going on and we need to be aware of. And again, I say they are these side stories
as you listen to the news, I was listening to one of the newscasters that was saying that Donald Trump did not go over the top or get to the point where campaign was derailed until he talked about a white, blonde-eyed, white-haired, blonde-eyed female in such a fashion that it was not going to be tolerated. And what I'm trying to express or say is there has to be accountability for those individuals who wipe their feet on other minorities other than white females. Now, I'm not sure I understand why we didn't put a stop to him the moment he came out and said that the Hispanics were all rapists, criminals, and maybe some of them were good people. Some of them are good people. When he came out and John McClain and veterans and suggested that being captured wasn't enough to make you a hero. Now, in terms of being a veteran, I'm not a veteran. I've never gone to war. I have nothing negative to say about any veteran. Once you picked up a gun and gone and fought for your country, that eliminates any criticism that can come from me regarding you after what you have committed to. You know, I can't sit here in a safe environment and talk about you when you made the ultimate commitment and put your life at risk. So he didn't stop there. He went on to say, talk about a family with disrespect whose son had gave the ultimate sacrifice, gave his life. He went on to say that African Americans are living in hell, their schools are no good, and they're being gunned down and murdered in the streets. Now, I know for me, that does not represent the majority of African Americans. But yet, he came and made that statement as though the majority of African Americans are living in that situation. So I'm questioning whether or not the issue is not with white America or with white females. The issue is with minorities or certain subgroups of Americans tolerate somewhat of his nature being able to make these statements without any sacrifices. You cannot object to people making statements or saying things about you if you're not willing to fight hard enough for them to pay for those statements. You have to be willing to make them pay for statements that are not true. And it seems that until he makes the across in the line, there was no payment. There was no sacrifice. There was no downside. And I had to be ultimately just upset about the fact that he made the comment about African Americans living in hell. Their streets, their schools were no good. And they were being murdered in the streets. So my point is, if we didn't scream and yell about those comments, knowing that they didn't clearly did not describe who we were or where we are, how can we hold anybody accountable if Donald Trump cannot be held accountable? I know that the polling showed or suggested that he was receiving less than 20% of the vote, but he should have been discounted altogether as a result of making those statements. We cannot, there are certain times when people come out and say certain things that we make them pay a heavy cost. And we remember when the owner of the, I think it was the Phoenix Suns, made his statement, you know, so I'm trying to figure out, why was this any different? Why were African Americans unable to bring Donald Trump down with his statements, but yet when he crossed the line with a white female, the world collapsed upon him and brought him to his knees. Only then was he made to make an apology. So my concerns happen to be, what do we do from this point on? How do we react or behave from this point on if we're going to be affected? Because we have to have a mechanism that makes people pay for making mistakes. And even if they're not mistakes, truly if they're done purposely, we need to make people pay. So as we move from this point on, organizations like Black Lives Matter are addressing the carnage that is happening across our country. But when we are being politically murdered by the opinions of Republicans or the opinions of people who don't have love for people of color, how do we make them pay? How do we make them recognize that they better tread lightly on the things that they let come out of their mouths? There has to be a willingness on our part to address people and how they conduct themselves on the airwaves related to their description of African Americans. And there was no penalty paid. Again, when he said, your schools, I was very offended. I've taught school for 30 years, and the schools that are for or that are available to African Americans are all the schools, but those schools that have a high concentration of African Americans don't belong to the African American community. They belong to the county, the school county, in that particular region where they exist. So therefore, it is up to that particular county to effectively bring those schools up to par. Bringing schools up to par or up to their proper level is not the responsibility of African Americans. We all pay taxes. We should all be requiring that all our schools be brought up to a certain level, that all our schools meet the needs of our students. And they should not be identified as black schools or white schools or Puerto Rican schools. That is not how our schools are supposed to be labeled. So it concerns me that there's a place where you can step off the cliff, but it does not have anything to do with people of color. It would be a major price to be paid when you're willing to criticize or talk down to people of color and suggest that somehow we have not gained a place in society that requires respect. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and discuss how do we get to the point where we're respected and feared on the political scene. Talk to you today about just what is it we need to do to make sure that we are forced to be dealt with. And we have to show, flex our muscles long before the campaign starts. We need to be recognized as a force to be dealt with while these people who are wanting to be our leaders are having their meetings before they declare their candidacy. we have to be in a position where people are planning to deal with our strength and our scrutiny long before they get into the campaign, because they have to be so afraid to make offhanded comments, knowing that there will be a fall or a force to be dealt with when they don't handle us appropriately. So we have to come together as a force long before the campaign starts. We have to get together and make sure we create an environment so people recognize that our vote will not be taken lightly, our voice will be heard correctly, and we will not be treaded on as though that we don't exist. When Donald Trump made those statements related to African Americans not being able to walk their street, effectively decided that we all lived in the same areas, that we all existed and were impacted by the same issues that all people of color were impacted by. Now, I'm not here saying or suggesting that there are not schools that serve African Americans that need to be uplifted, that need to be need to have more money, need to have better instructors, need to have more attention. I'm not saying that. But overall, I'm saying that we have progressed a lot. And in our progression, we have gained a lot. And for a man to suggest that all African Americans or all people of color are living in hell, are living in an environment where we have not progressed, not something we should allow any person to say without there being some backlash. Here it is that we had a white female being talked about in a disgusting manner, and that is what is the final issue that brings Donald Trump to his knees, or that is about to bring him to his knees. So I'm saying to you that we have to be the ones that step up to suggest when things that are made, statements are made about us, create an environment for the fall of those people who are willing to step out on a limb and make those kind of statements. At no time in my existence have I lived in poverty. And I know that there are a lot of people around me who've never lived in poverty. There are a lot of African Americans who've never been on welfare. There are a lot of African Americans who've never had to use food stamps. There are a lot of African Americans who've never been unemployed, who've never been bankrupt. I mean, so for him to suggest that we are all in the same boat requires a backlash that would not allow him to proceed. So my disheartenedness or feeling of anger is not at him, but at the fact that we don't have a mechanism to make people who want to be leaders in politics pay for making those kind of statements. Why is it until he made the statement about the white female did he drop double digits to Hillary Clinton? So I just want to talk about what is it we need to do to make sure that we never allow any politician to say something that we don't appreciate and him go along as though everything's all right. that somehow we have ability to punish those who are not bringing us up to the table of considering what part we play in the United States of America. Andre, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am terrific. Terrific Tuesday. Thank you so much.
Andre, what I'm talking about today is I heard a news commentator suggest that until Donald Trump stepped over the line and made derogatory comments about a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white female, he didn't get any type of punishment. And so I think that says to us as people of color, we have to create an environment that makes sure that people who decide they want to run for leadership have to accommodate some of the things that we need or we desire in our communities without throwing mud in the direction of African Americans. Because I just can't understand why there wasn't such a backlash at some of the things that he said that put an end to his credibility at that point. Why did it take him degrading a white female before he reached the point of demise?
A lack of unity within our culture. And that's unfortunate, and people may not want to hear it, but that is the truth, because it goes back to, I'm a believer that if you let an inch go, then that's when people start taking, you know, a yard in a football field or a mile or whatever the case may be. When the senators disregarded our president, putting their finger in his face, you know, calling him names, and when Donald Trump suggested that our president wasn't a United States citizen and requested he produce a document, you know, and nothing was said or done, and it's almost, you know, it was a joke. And when you, that disrespect, and when someone see a little something go by, and not saying that was little by no means, you see a little something go by without consequences, then, of course, then somebody will take an additional step, and that's what we see. And as it relates to the majority of America's prized possession, it's that white female. I happen to have a diversity training, and it was the best diversity training that I've ever experienced in my life, actually the best training, and it was conducted by a gentleman from Atlanta, Georgia, and I mean very powerful. But the key piece of the diversity said, you know, what is the key component, you know, that white males pride? What is it? And, you know, a lot of times you think money and you think power, which those two are a key component. But the one that tops that list is that white female. You start messing with that white female and you're going to find yourself in trouble. Why is it that you think that I don't care how much money you have, these black athletes, these black actors, or whatever the case may be, you know, you start messing with the white female, they still string you along because they control the money, but they really don't like it and appreciate it. So this is just blatant in your face. Yeah, you could talk about the president, you could talk about the first lady, you could talk, you know, about blacks overall, disregard life, on and on. But when that white female, and you may say, well, that's not necessarily true, Andre, because that the newscaster, she was a white female. But if you remember, a lot of uproar was taken, you know, with that comment. And at that time, that's when some people start, you know, changing their position. But this here, and just the vulgarness, and just the thuggishness that was displayed. People don't want to associate that, especially when they're talking about a white female. But to answer your question, long story short, the blacks have to unify and identify a leader that can, again, make requests and know that we have the support behind them. And unfortunately, we have been just divided for so long. And, of course, that was part of their goal, to divide us as a race. And yet we still rise. So thank you, Lord, for that. But it's hard for someone to take the lead for us, because we always find so many things wrong with them, and then nobody's perfect. But, again, until we become unified, we're going to continue to have our voice not as valuable as it can be and as it should be.
Well, Andre, one of the things I have issues with, and maybe not necessarily, I shouldn't say I issues with, I think this clearly says to us that we have to create an environment or an organization or some kind of commitment to making people fully understand that we've galvanized ourselves in a way that we're going to address every little thing that happens. Because you're right. When that in Colorado, if I'm not mistaken, in Colorado, when that governor or mayor, I forget exactly what her leadership role was, stuck her finger in Barack Obama's face, he did the right thing by not responding physically or verbally to her. But who should have responded to her was people of color across this nation. So every time he was disrespected, in a sense, like you said, we were the ones being disrespected, and we should have brought those kind of people to task. And until we get ourselves together to the point that we can make them pay politically for the things, the disrespect they so blatantly show us, we are not going to be brought to the table the way we should, by not only the Democratic Party, but never by the Republican Party. We have to make everyone understand that there is no success without there being success reached out or extended to people of color. And so that's my concern. That's one of the things I think we should really be learning in this political time period, is we have to not just vote when it comes time to vote, but we have to put on pressure and show that we are willing to vote with our feet by marching or by having our voices heard throughout the nation when things happen throughout the country. And that's
and
what
you're
seemingly
exactly
people,
right.
people
you're
seem
exactly
like they
right.
can do this. Yeah. Go ahead.
And not only the marching and the praying, and also, you know, shutting down some fun, taking some, you know, we have to be mindful that we as a unified race can control a whole lot, and we have to really want to do it, because it may mean not having the wants that you may want to have, but surely all your needs will be met. And when we start shutting down, you know, all these name brand items that we be purchasing that got a high dollar tag with it, where you can have just a basic piece of clothing, because the clothing don't make you. You make the clothes. Don't be trying to wear all this high priced stuff. You know, I'm leaving now. My mother called me, and she does absentee ballot, and she wanted to make sure that I come and fill it out for her. Not like my sister that she lived with couldn't do it, but that's okay. She just entrusted that to me. And I knew how important that is to her. And sure, do we have plenty of time? But no, I didn't wait till the weekend. I didn't wait till tomorrow. I went today. And I did that because this is a 97-year-old lady. She's seen a lot. And when we say the power of the vote, we have to think about what that means and how important that vote is. And not only the vote, like you said, the unification making stances all along the way beyond the political campaign deadlines and all. What are we doing, like you said, when we're constantly being mistreated, misrepresented, and behaviors and language that's not tolerated? First of all, let's start respecting ourselves and demanding that respect. And that's why, you know, a few shows ago you were talking about the importance of the male role model, because not only do you have to help the male role model understand what it is to be a true male, a black male, and what it takes, but also how to treat that black female so that she'll know what to expect, how to be a queen. And, you know, when you laughing at us as a race, each other, I'm saying, then surely that's a signal for someone else. If you don't respect what you have, surely others would disrespect it. And that's where we are right now. Until we unify and demand respect, we're not getting it.
And that's you're exactly right. And I'm not against any group of people coming together and making their voices be heard. But understand, when you have the gay community is galvanized enough to make people pay for denying them the right to go in the bathroom by making North Carolina lose millions of dollars, why isn't it in the black community we can't do the same thing? Here it is in Florida, where you have a large percentage of African Americans who've gone to jail and lost their voters' ability to vote once they paid their price. Why as a community we can't go to Governor Scott and say, hey, we are tired of you using the voting privileges as a penalty for people's past transgressions, that once a person is out of jail, they should be given the right to vote. That's not asking too much. Your right to vote should not be taken away from you because you made an error in judgment. Once you paid your price to society and you get out of jail, get you a job, start working, you should have the right to vote. But many states do that because they know the majority of African Americans are Democrats, and those are thousands of people that they can keep off the voting roll by not allowing them to have their voting privileges restored. That's just one incident. But I'm just saying that there should be plenty of things that we should be lending our voices to that have nothing to do with us voting, but what has something to do with us being treated fairly. Do we have the ability to make the NBA move their move a game or move a team because we're upset? Do we have the ability to force a team to change their mascot because it's inappropriate? I mean, you have the Indians giving hell to Washington Redskins. Okay, their voice is being heard. We need to have our voices heard in the same manner. When we recognize something is not correct, we need to raise up. If that means boycotting, it means marching, or does it mean taking people to court, whatever it means, we need to create an environment or an organization that can do our bidding.
And support that effort, because the gentleman with the 49ers, he's making a stand. And what you see in society, they're trying to flip that to say that, you know, you're not being respectful. No, that's not what it is. But to your point, look at all these other organizations who have just gained momentum, and every time the blacks constantly are prevailing. So when we see these efforts and stuff, we have to, as you said, again, the word is unify. My word for tonight is unify. We have to unify and support so that we can gain that traction and be respected.
And we have to put our money where our mouth is. We can't depend on a group to do something or do our bidding if they don't have the money to take the steps necessary. We got callers, 7265. Give us your name and where you're calling from. How you doing? Just what are your thoughts about us being a force outside of our boat, that somehow or another we had to come together and make things happen related to when people make offhanded comments or suggest that somehow we're not to be respected? I think I just lost Joyce. Hi, Joyce, are you back with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Arizona.
Now, Joyce, was that your governor that did that pointing and finger in the face?
He sure was. Jane Brewer. She did that. It was so disrespectful to us, unreal, here in Phoenix, Arizona. She did that to Obama.
And we didn't make her pay a price for that. And that's where I am.
Yeah, I'm just sick about it, and it's no respect, but it tells you a lot about this state, how they think, and it tells you just, you know, where we are as a society, no respect. Not only did they do it here in Arizona, I've listened to sometimes at the beginning, national news, if you didn't remember and recall, they would not say President Obama. They call him Barack Obama, Michelle Obama. Just now in the end was where they really truly getting the type of respect that they should have been getting a long time ago. I agree a lot with what Audrey had to say. And in addition to that, that we as black men, our black men has to give our black females a lot of respect, particularly in front of that white female. Because as it stands now, the white female really thinks they are just so up there beyond a black woman and will not give you that respect in front of you, particularly when they're around there, your black man. So it's just a lot of things that need to take place. Also, agreeing with her as far as the 49er player, I was heartened when they had a black newscaster get in front nationally and say how he disagreed with the 49 player and how he's disrespecting. They always play us against each other. Even though we have power, regardless whether you thought that brother was wrong or not, don't say it in front of millions on television. Pull him to the side or voice your opinion. But they always get another brother to go against a brother, another race, the same person to go against each other. And that's how they play us. You know, he should have said no comment at this time. I'm still trying to digest what is happening before I form my opinion. But he was so eager to get out there and just ridicule a brother. But I'm so glad that he's still sticking to it and looking forward to buying his jersey.
Well, you know something, you have brought up an important issue that he has taken a stand. But we have to support not only him in his stance, but support the whatever organizations raise their head as a response to what's going on, because there has to be a price to pay to disrespect African Americans or disrespect people of color. We shouldn't, just like you said, we have to galvanize ourselves or unify ourselves, like Audrey said, in a fashion that let people know that we're not going to tolerate our leaders being disrespected. We're not going to tolerate our African-American queens being disrespected. And you're not going to be able to get off scot-free for coming on television and saying anything that you want to on these airwaves without there being a penalty to pay. And we have to get, I don't know who's going to start it, but I'm going to go on record saying that I'm supporting any organization that is going to fight for me and with any leadership that is going to call for me to disavow any group of people or any company that has been disrespectful to our leadership. Are we going to boycott? We have to do whatever it takes. I'm not into violence, but boycotting or not supporting or any of those tactics are what we should be looking at using to correct those who would come out and make statements like Donald Trump said this past year.
I agree 100%. Kiki Barber was the one that went on news on Sports Channel and really just degraded the 49 player at the onset. And that's how society do white people. They play us against each other. He should have been just not taking a stand, but he jumped on that so quickly instead of really looking at the big picture. I guarantee you now his thought pattern, and he would look at that differently because he really didn't think that it was going to pan out the way that it did.
And I appreciate the support that he's gotten around the NFL with other players who are supporting him and who recognize that there's a reason for what he's doing, and he should continue to do it and feel comfortable doing it as long as he wants. And that should just jump off on everything. Again, I'm saying to you, when the gay community felt that they were being treated unfairly, large companies made moves. I mean, large companies supported them and made sure that their voices were heard. Well, what large companies make sure that our voices are heard? What large companies would have moved a playoff or moved a major event to another city because of what was done to us as people of color? So that's what I'm saying. If they're not going to be major companies that are willing to speak up for us, we have to find ways to speak up for ourselves.
I think the major companies.
Are you there, Joyce? Andre, what is your thought?
I'm not sure what Joyce was about to say, but I was interested in hearing it. I hope she get a phone corrected so we can hear. But again, I think we're all in unison of the importance of making a stand. And you have made some very valid notations as far as, you know, we don't have companies, we don't have organizations, but together we can get some things changed, and that's what we have to do, because when we see as many killings in Chicago, like I say, if someone was to step up and say, you know what, this major sporting event will not be held here, or this major concert will not be held here, because that's what it took. If we think about Ray Charles that, you know, boycotted, and for a long time Georgia wouldn't let him in.
Right.
But you know, he held his ground, and of course now they call him the Georgia son or whatever. But you know, he was committed enough to that. Like you said, you have to put your money where your mouth is, and it's not always money per se, funding, but it is a stand withhold. Sometimes it's from withholding money. Sometimes it's not all about giving money. Sometimes it's about withholding money. If we know certain companies, I remember years and years back, at one time it was said that Procter & Gamble was associated with KKK, and at that time, you know, I saw my Procter & Gamble products and stuff, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, those are products that names that you get to know and that kind of stuff like that, but we have to know who's the source behind all these items that we're supporting. If we work hard for the money that we're earning, let's make sure that that money is funding people that believe in things that's beneficial to us and our community. And I know
and
it's still today,
Audrey,
with Denny. Go ahead.
We have to be able to make a statement so that our voices are heard. And if their organization or a group of people or a leader calls for us to take action against an economic action, we have to be prepared to do it. And only then are you telling people, hey, you better walk softly, because if you make one mistake, we're going to call for a boycott. And there's going to be some heads rolling for what it is that you did. And I'm just saying to you, that's political power. But we can't
exactly
do
right.
that if we don't unify ourselves, and we don't have to wait till it's time for a vote. We don't have to wait, because if we do it before the vote, we know we're going to get what we want when it's time to vote. And so people have to be understanding that we're not going to tolerate disrespect for our leaders. We're not going to tolerate disrespect for African-American organizations. We're not going to let people like Donald Trump say foolish things like, you know, y'all living in poverty, your lives are hell. I mean, Audrey, just think about it. I'm sure the majority of people you know are not living in poverty. I know the majority of the people in my community are not living in poverty.
That's right.
So what is he talking about? You know, and we did not make
you have to be careful to make sure that, you know, we just don't take what he says at face value. And the key piece of it, let's recognize the accomplishments we are making. The ladies that were on the train that was disrespected, you know, they were educated and trained or cruise or something like that and stuff. And because
exactly.
he was, you know, and stuff, let's be reminded of that. They took a stand, and that's what we have to think about, because when we hear statements coming out of some people's mouth, don't just take it for granted. You have to fact check yourself, you know. But his thing of it is, if you put some words and people hear it enough, that's it. If people hear it, it's a brainwashing process. You know, if you repeat something enough to people, they'll say that it's true. And so, but you have to take a stand. It's just like I remember Denny's years and years ago. You know, I had gone into a Denny's, and I'm a type of person that eat out regularly. I'm trying to eat in more, but through the years, let me tell you, you can get a lot of money because I get a lot of help with restaurants, and I eat out a lot. But I went in, and I wasn't served in order. And stuff, and while I wasn't a part of the class action suit, and I was glad that they had to go back and take courses and that kind of stuff like that, and the manager tried to pay for my meal and all, but, you know, from that day, and I mean, it's been years, at least 10, 15 years, I will not eat at a dentist. And that's my stand, my personal stand, not to say nobody else, because I do know that part of the class action suit required that they take, you know, courses and that kind of stuff, but I know how I was treated, and I know I worked too hard for my money, and I'm very selective as to where I spend it.
But you remember this, and that's, we, in that effort, there's an African-American female who had been elevated to the point that she could make a difference, and there were black entrepreneurs who got franchises because of that, and so you're exactly right, and you have not heard lately any of those stories. Now, some of those stories may not come to the forefront, but there was a time when every other month you were hearing about some of those stories.
Yes.
And so,
yes. So we have to be mindful that we are accomplishing, and we have to get those accomplishments out there, because just as you hear things negative, let me tell you, we as a people are strong people. We have come a long way with the grace and help of the Lord's direction and guidance, and he will not fail us yet. But if we don't tell our history, if we don't tell our story, we will hear stuff, and it's not necessarily true, and we don't know how strong we are, because I tell you what, we are making stands across this country, and things are happening, maybe not as fast as we would like, but let's make sure that we do acknowledge the success of those who are standing, because sometimes it's a person that's having to go against big corporations. They stand, it's a battle, but you continue to stand, you continue to fight, because it was those same forefathers that came before us that it wasn't easy, but they positioned us so that we could be where we are, and we need to position the generation that's coming behind us. We're not standing for it. We're not tolerating. One person makes a difference.
And, you know, we just have to make sure, that's what I'm saying, right now, after this vote, after this day is over, we should continue the momentum of creating an environment or creating an organization that is ready and prepared to deal with every issue. And the issue shouldn't have to wait for voting. The issue shouldn't have to wait for a proper time. That's why we need to be giving as much money as we can to Black Lives Matter. We need to be propping up and giving more money to the NAACP. We need to be giving money to all organizations who are out there on the front line making sure that people don't step out of line. And we need to be making those organizations understand that they're not going to be supported unless they're willing to fight the fight. And we're going to fight the fight for legitimacy. We want our people respected. I don't want no more or no less than anybody else. And that's all I'm saying, that we cannot allow people to feel comfortable saying ugly things to us without there being some kind of punishment for it.
Amen. It's all about respect.
All right, we're going to take another short break, and we're going to come back to finish the show. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Joyce, would you like to finish your comment? You got cut off.
I forgot what I was saying.
Okay. Well, Joyce, let me just ask you this. You know, what my thoughts are after having this show today is that we just don't have anybody who can say to us, hey, look, don't buy mobile gas for the rest of the week, or don't go to Target for this week, or don't go to Penny's or J.C. Penney's. I mean, we just have to find a way to show people how powerful we are and how much our money means, so that they respect the fact that they don't step out of line and that we are willing to fight the fight that is needed for us to be respected as a people. And I think what you said is so important, that African-American men need to respect African-American women. I remember today, I don't know if you heard, but there's a book coming out about Denzel Washington and for how long he would not allow a kissing scene between him and a white female out of respect for the black woman and the black queen. And I think that is so profound, and that we need to make sure, in order to make others respect us, we have to learn how to respect ourselves and let people know we're just not going to tolerate disrespect of any kind when it comes to our women, come to our leaders, or coming to our lives.
That's true. I think we need to hold accountability to ourselves more so than anything. I do respect Denzel, too, as to how he raised his kid, particularly his son. And what he told him, which I never forget, is that when you look at, you know, when you look at your mom, this is what we expect for you to bring us home, someone who is similar to what your mom is all about. So that's starting from the home, giving our black men, you know, images as to where you're coming from and what you're made of, true enough. And what we need to do also is that we're too easy and too willing to just look the other way and always say that it doesn't apply to you. You know, that might be happening to that brother, but, you know, it's no big deal. It doesn't happen to me. Think about it. Anytime it happened to your brother, it's happening to you too. And we got to be more involved, and we got to care more. I think we're too easy to look the other way, and that we got to stop doing. And we need to come together as a group. When we look at each other, we got to look at each other with positiveness, respect, helping each other to get over the hump, and not thinking that we're more than that person once we made it. We got to be willing to bring that other person up next to you to ride along with you, because it's a beautiful ride when you can do it with somebody and not do it just by yourself.
And you're so right. We know it's called some of this that's going on that is going to be the demise of people of color is self-hatred. You should not be able to look at your brother and not see him as valuable, and that's why some of the violence is taking place, because there's those people in the inner city who don't see the value in each other. And we have to get all young people to understand that all of us are walking the same walk and need to be respected and appreciated, and not as seen as a someone. We can't afford to lose not one African young man or one African young female to senseless violence. We know that young
Amen.
People are going to die as a result of disease. We know that they're going to die as a result of accidents. But we need to cut out this death by senseless violence. We can't
Amen.
Tolerate it.
Amen.
You know, it's so important. It's you know, so our word, our voice, your voice, Audrey's voice, Regina's voice, and Kathy's voice has to be heard amongst all the other voices. As we say, it's time for us to make a difference. It's time for us to support our leadership, support our organizations, and mandate them fight the fight that we need them to fight in order for us to overcome some of this ugliness that exists in the politics that is part of what America is about right now.
Amen.
So I want to thank you, Joyce. We've come to an end of the show, and thank you for your support and you calling in. And we want to thank Audrey and Regina and Kathy and all of those others of you who call in. You know, it is time for us to show that we are serious about our politics. We need to show that we're serious about our union and our commitment to one another. It is time for us to raise up again and be counted outside of just our vote. We want to make sure we have some say in the kind of laws that are created to govern us. We want to have some say in the way we're treated as human beings, and we want to make people fearful of stepping out of place. It is time for us to make sure that all these individuals know that we are not going to sit quietly by while they destroy us and our leadership, our communities, our everything that exists related to African Americans need to be upheld and seen as a positive force in the United States. And we're going to back those things. So we're going to take another short break and come back and end the show. But I want you to know that this is what we're about. Supporting our leadership and making sure that our voices are heard loud and clear.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has sent the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am.
Just a thought. October 5th, 2016. As the journey of life travels the barren roads of love and romance, searching to appease the hunger of connections, we are forced to turn over the fruitless ground of ugliness and disconnection. No disappointment can be allowed to make us surrender that which is an endless crusade to discover love, leaving us the most vulnerable to forces that refuse to acknowledge the value of our internal spirit. We open ourselves up to the greatest pain and the emptiness of rejection by desiring the taste of the forbidden fruit of the sweet apple of love. It quenches the thirst of lust in unknown ways, leaving our lungs useless. Desiring to engulf that which embodies all that drives you beyond compulsion to a place where no is no longer an option. Your fears are absent and your determination knows no bounds. You want what makes you feel priceless.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. The show is live 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in 657-383-0309. We can no longer reside in the shadows of life. It is a must that we be out front of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshaies.com. I look forward to you being on my show and listening to your opinions. Your opinions will be heard loud and clear. All right, everybody, I want to just let you know as a closing remark, I had a big bite of that elephant, and now that we have 364 days left, I'm going to continue to chew on my elephant each and every day until he's devoured, and I hope you do the same. So let's keep on eating till we eat all the elephants up that are in the room that keeps us from reaching our goals of success. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. This is your host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, James T. Deshaies. Take care.